Okay, we're ready to start the school board meeting. Can you determine a quorum for me?
We have a full board here tonight, all members present.
Thank you. Who has the board goals? Oh, Ms. Welton, please read those.
Okay. The Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District vision, mission, beliefs, values, goals, and objectives. Matsu Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Mission: Matsu Borough School District prepares students for success. Beliefs: we believe that all students can and want to learn. Success breeds success. The needs and best interests of students drive all decisions. Stakeholders' participation is crucial to student success. Our core values, stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, efficiency, respect, collaboration, and commitment. Our goals: we will improve student success, achievement, and performance by focusing on their career and college readiness. We will increase the graduation rate. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth. We will create and maintain a safe and healthy environment for our students and staff. And our annual objectives and accountability will be assessed by quarterly metrics and timelines.
Mr. Jensen, will you lead us in the flag salute? Can I have an approval of the agenda?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the agenda.
Second.
Is there any dissent? All right, we'll go on with the agenda as approved. It is now time for persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Can you read the rules for us, Ms. Welton?
Public comment pertaining to education on non-agenda items is limited to 3 minutes per person per meeting. There will be up to 1 hour for persons to be heard. Public comment on agenda items will be taken at the time the agenda is considered. This is your opportunity to be heard, and the board will not respond to your comments. As per Board Policy 1312, individuals testifying may not discuss complaints against individual employees. Specifically, under the agenda, persons to be heard on non-agenda items, the following guidelines do apply. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear in the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard, or may be handled in executive session, or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. There's a maximum of 1 hour per meeting. We will have our first half hour now and a later half hour later in the meeting. We have Heather Aslan.
District that have attention deficit disorder or Asperger's or Tourette's syndrome or any other disability that leaves them learning impaired, however they might be academically sound, where they don't quite fit into the mold for an intensive program. but yet they're struggling in a regular classroom, and sometimes are often put into ED classrooms where they don't belong. I see. My stepmother used to tell me that we can't treat everybody equally, but we can treat each other fairly. And in a classroom of 30 kids, if you have attention deficit order, it's not fair for them to necessarily be in that classroom. And their behaviors sometimes demonstrate the fact that they're not comfortable in that classroom. They're not able to absorb everything in that classroom, and yet they're being punished for it. What I'd like to see for our district is to have some type of program set up where these kids can learn in a classroom that's not only challenging, but is appropriate, trained by teachers that are able to guide these children so that they can reach their goals and learn to their potential. My fear is that a lot of these kids in 30 years from now, they're going to wake up and realize that they lost a lot of potential. I've seen kids that have been placed in lower reading groups because they're not able to focus. So while their classmates in the other classroom and the higher reading groups are doing puppet shows and plays, they're reading work that they already know how to read. I've seen kids get in trouble because they can't focus, or they just don't have the social skills that they need to have. And when they're in the early grades, you know, sometimes they can pass. They've got support. There's a lot of supportive teachers in the district. But as they get older to middle school and high school, and you have 8 different teachers, how is a parent supposed to coordinate with all these different teachers? When there's one teacher, you know, sometimes they're able to learn about the student, and they're able to find out what makes the student drive and help them succeed. But when you have 8 different teachers, that gets a lot harder in middle school and high school. So that's where I'm mostly concerned about. Some of these parents are pulling their kids out to homeschool because they're not able to find what they need in the district for these kids that are on the border. Like I said, they don't quite fit into any classroom, and we need something for them. If we can have programs for kids to learn Spanish or art, then we should have programs for these kids where they can feel comfortable in a group and not have an aide following them around where they feel like they're being policed all day. Instead, they're comfortable with each other. They're learning. There's less kids in the classroom. They're also learning things that they need in life, such as interpersonal communication skills or maybe how to build a shopping list and go to the store and act appropriately for that. They need that extra help, and they need that extra assistance. And even though some of them might be able to pass in a regular ed classroom, that's not giving them exactly what they need. We're not letting them meet their potential. Instead of being D or C students, they could be an A student if they had the right environment, if they had the right teacher to motivate them. Thank you.
Thank you. Connor Rockham.
Good evening. My name is Connor Rockham, and I am a third grader at Mokotan's Elementary School. I am here tonight to consider giving students the day after Halloween off from school. My reasoning is it is ridiculous how many kids are absent the day after Halloween, so we should just take the day off anyway. Also, some of the kids that do come are tired and are making bad choices. I know that school is important, but when kids are tired and grumpy, there's less learning and more disciplining, so the day is not as good as it should be. If you don't like just giving us the day off, you could move parent-teacher conferences to the day after Halloween, since we need those days off anyway. I hope you will consider this when you make your calendar next year. Thank you for listening.
There's no one else on my list. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak?
I might need this stool. Terry Snyder, besides always being an advocate for the school district, I had another little task this year, and I worked on a ballot initiative for a smoke-free Palmer. And I just realized that Anchorage is just now taking that up, having smoke-free campuses. And again, this Matsu district was first in bringing that forward on their campuses. So I want to congratulate you on that, because there is the big guy struggling with an issue you've already
you know, taken care of about the health of your community. And I wanted to let you know that next week is the big smoke out, next Thursday, and drop off some flyers. I want to encourage you to put that at your front desk and let all your employees know that I guess there's lots of help out there. That's not my ballywag, but I want you to encourage people and let them know Palmer's going to be smoke-free here January 1st. Thanks.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on a non-agenda item?
Administrative reports. Dr. Promo. I'm sorry, I skipped borough and city reports. I see the city of Palmer here.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the school board, Superintendent Paramo. My name is Doug Griffin. I'm the city manager for the city of Palmer. I don't have a whole lot to report. First of all, I would like to congratulate Member Gaddis on her election to the Alaska House of Representatives yesterday. So we look forward to working with Representative-elect Gaddis. I guess she hasn't been sworn in yet. And I haven't had a chance to also acknowledge your new board member, Debbie Rutherford. So I'd just like to congratulate you on your success on being elected to the school board. Not a whole lot with the city of Palmer. I'll just following up what Ms. Snyder said. We're working on trying to get prepared to start implementing and enforcing the smoke-free Palmer initiative that was passed as part of our municipal election in October. And obviously there's only a couple of, or just a handful of businesses where there's a prevalence of smoking there, so we can focus on that. But it does have broader implications of us trying to educate the public on how we intend to enforce that. There are a couple other things that the city has done recently in revising its business licenses program and its sales tax reporting program. We haven't changed the 3% sales tax rate, but just we're trying to do things that make it a little more business friendly, and those all go into effect January 2nd as well. That's when the smoking ordinance goes into effect. The only other thing is with the city of Palmer's working on budget. We are on a calendar fiscal year, so we're about halfway through our budget process. The only really significant kind of emphasis has been to try to put a little bit more money into our municipal library, the Palmer Public Library, and so I know that has some significance for the school board. It's used a lot for homeschoolers, and various people use the Palmer Library, so we hopefully the additional money we have in our budget to that will make that a much more welcoming and useful facility. So really, with all that, that concludes my report. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see a representative here from the city of Wasilla or the borough. Is anyone here to report on that? Okay. All right, so we'll move on now to administrative reports.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to introduce a group of talented young students who are going to present some information on the Alaska Association of Student Government statewide conference. This conference was held at Wasilla High School, and their sponsor is also going to come up and prepare a PowerPoint to update you on what happened. And again, it was sponsored by Wasilla, but please know that Wasilla had to go out and win this bid, and with the bid brought, I guess, pride to our community, pride to one of our schools to have 500 students from around the state at their annual conference here in our backyard. In addition to the impact of schools, the impact and positive impact to our community, hopefully to have 500 youth here was positive. They explored. They were not only in the school, and they went around our town and shopped in our stores and ate at our restaurants and enjoyed social events that we also have, such as bowling and skating and things like that. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to Mr. Jensen.
Good evening. My name is Anthony Jensen. I am the student government advisor at Wasilla High School. And unfortunately, none of my talented students were able to come tonight due to different family obligations, as well as some of them are freshmen and sophomores and don't have transportation. So you get me, but I will try to do my best for this. As Dr. Paramo said, the Alaska Association of School Board, or Alaska Association of Student Governments, is a statewide student organization for students from around the state to come together to deliberate and discuss different issues that are affecting them in their community as well as in their school, and then also on a statewide level. And so Wasilla High School is the first time we were able to host this in about 25 years, and so it was a very good undertaking for us, and it was a very positive experience for us as well as the community. As you can see on our first slide here, the theme of our conference was to light the torch of leadership. And the idea was is that we knew we were going to have a number of students that were already leaders, and so what we wanted to do was to try to incorporate their leadership skills that they already had and give them a spark of something they could take back to make a positive change within their communities. And so I think we were able to accomplish that with a number of our different activities that we did. As Dr. Paramo said, we did have over 500 people that attended our conference. We had about 520 students and advisors that registered for the conference, and it truly was a statewide event. We did meet our goal of a very diverse amount of students from around the state, everywhere from Bethel to Thorne Bay down in southeast Alaska, as well as from Barrow to Onalaska and Aleutians East. And so we had all these students that were able to come to our event and do these discussions and deliberations, and so that was a very powerful thing to see all these students together. On this screen, it has all the different component parts of what goes into an OSOG conference, and there are many different things that happen, and it does last for 3 days. But perhaps the best part of these conferences is the voice that students get. I'm not sure how well you can tell in the picture, but the person that is surrounded by the students in that picture is Senator Betty Davis. She was recognized at this OSOG for the work that she had done, taking a resolution that had been passed 2 years ago at the Bethel Conference and seeing that resolution and then writing that as a piece of legislation that helped to promote statewide training for staff and teachers about suicide prevention. And so that was something that the students can feel very empowered about, that their voice is being heard on a statewide level and that they can make a positive impact on their communities as well as within the state. We did have a lot of collaboration from the school district, and this shows you the amount that we needed. We used all 500 chairs that we were able to borrow from the school district, and we used the big backdrop, and we filled our gym. And again, that's always a wonderful thing to see your gym full of students that are engaged and enthusiastic about what it is that they're there to do. We had a keynote speaker, Rachel's Challenge, was able to come up. We were able to secure Craig Scott to come up and speak. Many of you saw Craig Scott last year at the OSOB conference. You might have even seen Dr. Paramo get to dance with Craig. And so that helped us. And we identified Rachel's Challenge very early on as the group that we wanted to bring in to speak to our students, because his message of tolerance and acceptance as well as positive impact on your community. And he did an outstanding job. There was not a single negative comment we heard from any of the students or advisors. Everybody was very moved. It was something that a lot of them are able to take back to their communities and really try to start that spark in their community for positive change. We also offered workshops. Up here is a variety of the different workshops and roundtables that we offered to students, some leadership skills as well as some life skills. And so there's a number of different groups that are up here that are able to offer something to these students so they can take it back to their schools and really start something in their schools, again, affecting that positive change. Perhaps, our most notable one up there is Commissioner Joe Schmidt with the Choose Respect program. That's getting a lot of statewide recognition for the governor's directive towards this, and so we were able to bring them in, and that was a very good thing for us. We had a number of students that were able to attend that. It was an Olympic year, and so we tried to incorporate that theme into our program as well. And like Dr. Paramo mentioned, we were able to take students into our community, showcase our different areas. We were able to get them out of their chairs and out of their meetings for that day and a half that they had been there and get them into the community to do something active. And many of them were very appreciative of being able to burn off a lot of their energy. And they were able to come back and refocus and do their tasks at hand for the next day and a half, because they really are in meetings for 3 days, and so this was a nice 2-hour break for them. and their advisors appreciated it too. Our conference was somewhat unique in that we were able to have two keynote speakers. The second keynote speaker we had was Judson Lapley from The Evolution of Dance. Many of you might have seen him either on America's Got Talent or he has over 200 million hits on YouTube. The nice thing about this, Osog's eBoard is the group that funded Judson to come up to our conference. The nice thing about his talk, though, is that it correlated very well with the Rachel's Challenge, the positive change. How do you make something better in your own situation? Instead of looking for excuses, you're looking for positive solutions. And so the message correlated well, and we were able to hit a number of different ways to take that message, because Judson Lapley uses a lot of humor in his talks, and Craig Scott uses his own personal tragedy story as a way to get his message across. And so we hit both different ideas of that, and so it worked very well. And then the final idea here, it really does take an entire district to put on an event this big. And so we were very appreciative of all the different schools that offered groups to help with opening and closing ceremonies to present, other advisors that helped with the coordination and logistics, and really the school district administration as well as the school board for allowing us to alter our school schedule to be able to host this on our parent-teacher conference days. We are very, very appreciative of that. So I am more than happy to answer any questions that you have for me.
Thank you for your time, Mr. Jensen.
Thank you.
All right, we move on to superintendent update.
Thank you, Madam President. And I do want to say thank you to Mr. Jensen. That was a very nice presentation. And I really enjoyed seeing it because I couldn't make that appointment. I was out of state. I'd like to say that just as a superintendent update, prior to, you can come forward, Mr. Forrest, but prior to hitting the enrollment and bond update, there are some just minor updates to let you know about. Please know that today the principals met with AASB administrative staff to review the school connectedness survey results. The data were studied and discussed for schools to define target areas for which they would like to improve the leadership, involvement, and or connectedness of staff and students at their school. More information on the collective work of schools will be posted on the website in the near future. So I wanted to let you know that your efforts to implement this survey in our schools is being used. In addition, I'd like to remind everyone at home and in the audience and here on the board that Monday our students will be off school in recognition of Veterans Day. Staff will be working at various locations around the district for professional development. The day is targeted to meet instructional and organizational needs and designed around like working groups. For example, the secretaries for all Matsubara School District schools and programs will be right here at the district office for their in-service. One topic being covered is the board's objective of a welcoming plan for all schools. This year, please know Luke Fulp, Gene Stone led a district-wide effort to apply for federal impact aid. The process included a survey to all Matsu families. Impact aid is a federal financial assistance program for school districts that may be impacted by federal workers. Matsu School District knows that we have 2,200 students whose parents are military personnel. While our students do not live on base, there is provided some assistance for workers on federal property. While the work is being done now for impact aid, the program, if it did benefit Matsu at all and we qualified, would impact our future budgets in future fiscal years. But that is beginning to look at new avenues for revenue in our district. And lastly, all departments are currently working to provide the board the administration's requested considerations for possible legislative priorities. At our next board meeting, the information will be provided for your review, and items will include both financial requests and possible language changes to statute. Please know that any time Mr. Forrest, Mr. Fulp, or Mr. Stone, or I may be contacted to gather information on a board member's legislative priority ideas or to further define an area of interest. And actually, I did have one more thing. In the same light of AASG, the OSOG conference, Mat-Su School District under LeBron McPhail also put in a request to win, if you will, the state tournament for volleyball. And we did receive that. And please know that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the state of Alaska 2A and 3A volleyball tournament will be held at the Menard Sports Center in Wasilla. This event will bring in 1,000 people to our valley, again, to hopefully enjoy the place that we call home, that we're proud of. We will put on a nice event for them, and our hotels, I heard, are full, and so you can't get a room in town, and our restaurants will be full, but it's a good thing that we can do back for our community to bring others to town, if you will. Please note, too, that Palmer High School is one of our schools that did qualify for the state tournament. They play Thursday at 3:15. At this time, Ken.
Good evening, members of the board. Enrollment update. Well, we've gone through the count period. We will have just a few minor adjustments as the state goes through its process of contesting duplicates. And a duplicate is where a child may be registered still on our books as enrolled and may subsequently be registered in another district in the state. So we'll get through that process. I'm pleased to report that on October 30th, we reached the zenith for school enrollment, and it was 17,558 students were enrolled in this district on October 30th. As of today, we still have enrolled 17,541 students. And as we mentioned previously, our count, the official count submitted to the state, or the average daily membership, which is the average over that 20-day period, is 17,257.91. However, thanks to Lucy Hope and her team, the intensive count was 58 students higher than projected. And so as a result, the shortfall that we had for the regular education students was more than made up by the intensive students, thanks to Ms. Hope and her team. And as a result, we are pleased to tell you that even though we'll have to dig into the reserve a little, we do anticipate a fully balanced budget for the rest of this year, in light of the other fiscal restraints that we have previously informed the board of. So we're pleased to report that we think we have enough money to make it through the year without further difficulty. Should that occur, I'm sure we'll bring that to the board's attention. So that's my enrollment update. Are there any questions? And Mr. Bob Bechtel from the borough is here to give you the bond update.
School board president, glad to be here. Bob Bechtel with the Public Works Project Management, and glad to represent the borough and let you know that we're trying to support you as best we can for this bond. Today we had our monthly coordination meeting with your staff over at O&M. And covered a mere 3 hours of things. So in honor of my son, who has great fear of boredom, I'd like to trim that down to about 2 minutes if I could. If you want it shorter, I could do that. So basically, Palmer High School turf, which has been a popular topic lately. Next spring, we'll have the perimeter drain fixed and then move on and get a track on their new track surface. And I think everybody will be happy. Wasilla High School and middle school roofs, we did the inspection today, so those are complete. Wasilla High School, Colony, Houston, and Palmer all will have the turf and rubber tracks next summer with drainage. Mat-Su Day School, we completed a design phase where we're moving forward to the 35%, which should be done by the end of this month. And the ed spec was approved by the state. And tomorrow we're meeting with the arts the Council on the Arts with the state to move forward with incorporating the art into the design, something we've been talking about for 7 or 8 years, I know. Seems difficult to meet all the requirements for the art and incorporate that into the design of a school. The Butte and Snowshoe Elementary School roofs have been replaced. The inspection is scheduled for the 12th of this month. And this admin building will be done by 2017. No, don't type that, please. Of all the buildings, we thought this would be the easy one, so we started on this one the first, and of course found asbestos in the ceiling tile. Didn't find any in the other schools, but in this one we did, and that was a $434,000 change order. And hopefully getting the contractor moving forward to get this finished here. It's getting a little frustrating. Big Lake Elementary School renovations. Design has been started on that. We have USKH doing the design for that. Six school restroom renovations. It's another project that will be done in 2013, along with lockers in Houston Middle and Palmer Junior Middle Schools, and new generator sets. So there will be a lot of work completed in 2013, enough to keep all of us busy, I'm sure. Safety and security bonds. We have installed over 500 safety and surveillance cameras in the schools, and now we're working on phase three, where we're going to install 70 new cameras, blind spots that we've found since we did the original install. And now we're looking to upgrade the software to keep up with the number of cameras that we've installed, and in addition, do some more technical support hours to support Justin's staff there at IT. I won't go into much more detail on the others, but pathways replacement, McCool Cross and Green is the architect. They've done great work for us in the past, and they're on the pathway schools. We basically using the design of the Sioux Valley High School and modifying that to their site and their program. In addition, we have the fire alarm replacements. We were replacing fire alarms at 10 schools, and that's been a busy job. Right now we're doing Colony Middle, Colony High, and Houston Middle. And Marshall's Electric is doing that work. And so far in Colony Middle, we're about 90% done there. Next, we'll move to Colony High School. Knick Area Middle School, High School. We discussed that at length today, and hoping to maybe get the civil work done this coming summer. That'll take some pushing because, well, we won't be complete in the design. So at least we have the site figured out, and we're moving forward there. We're hoping to have the design RFP advertised next week. Academy Charter School, we're expanding the school there. We're about 80% complete on the construction. And next we'll advertise for a $2 million addition for next year. So that's moving along quite well. I don't know, most of you have probably driven by there and seen the work, but it's going well. Palmer High School improvements. We have $5.5 million there that we're going to be upgrading the ventilation, heating, plumbing, controls, and fire sprinkler there. And hoping to have that done in 2013 as well. If you would like copies of each in the future for future meetings, I could do that too, so you have something to read prior to coming here.
We actually do provide them.
Oh, you
have. So they've read it already?
From the monthly report?
Correct.
Okay. This might be a few days newer, but not
Thanks.
Much. But if you have any questions, please. Just looking forward to working hard for the school district and making things happen.
Mr. Larson?
Our Board Connect just put out these monthly activity reports, which I was 15 pages, and I really enjoyed a lot. I did. On the Matsu Career Tech High School edition, it just virtually says you're going to put out the development and advertisement. I guess the question I got for you is when we put out the bond, we had a 2011 bond priority cash flow listing by location, and it talked about each year how these bonds would be spent. But the only thing I see here is from year to year. Are you going to have any kind of projection on when, like, the career tech addition is going to actually start and you know, some sort of completion?
I could do
and
that.
When the bonds are going to be sold for all the projects? Are we going to have, like, a five-year plan?
We could do that. Right now we have what we call a drawdown schedule for the bond. And that basically is aligning the by month the amount of construction and design money that would be spent that month. But I think what you're looking for more is probably a Gantt chart or something of a schedule that shows a start date and a completion date with maybe just construction and a design and construction phases.
Yeah, that's correct. Because, see, the questions I get from people that do talk to me, and there's a few that do, they come up and say, we passed this bond, we got Career Tech. Career Tech's got 200 kids on a waiting list right now. So they say, well, when is this going? What's your projected timeline for this? And I kind of look at them like a deer in the headlights, you know, and I don't think we want to end up that way. I'd like to at least give them, I know if you say it's going to be complete in 2015, there's some issues that could go along with that, but I could at least give them a timeline chart. And in addition to this is like the school playground money that we got from the legislators for like six elementary schools isn't on this chart at all. And I have no idea what's going to go on with that.
Are you talking about the grant?
The grant money, yeah. No. See, the grant money went to the borough, and I don't even know what happened to it or when that's going to take place. Or is that something we're going to do?
I think that's being handled separately through...
Okay.
We can answer those questions, Mr. Larson.
Okay.
Mr. Forrest can. I don't know if you want
well,
that
we don't
now
have to answer
later.
Now. If you've got the answer, that's fine. I won't ask any more questions except one. I've got maybe I'll give you a call and ask you a bunch. I'd love to bother you if that's possible.
Sure, and I'll definitely get a kind of a big picture with the design and construction phase for each project under the bond.
The Palmer Field, which has been a lot of calls on my part, in this paper it says that you peeled back the turf to test the soil for drainage. That's what it says in here.
Right.
What's that all about?
That's just to do a test to look for the capability of the soil by its gradients, by size of the particles in there to determine whether or not it would allow drainage.
Shouldn't that have been done before the turf was laid on there?
Well, it would have been easier if we'd have started with a bond instead of starting with a grant that was a little underfunded. That would have been the way to really do it, because we didn't have, we were trying to do it bare bones initially, and we already had a contract awarded before we had the bond come into play, and we were trying to do it with the grant money originally.
And so on your timeline, it'll show all the fields and all the production of like Wasilla, Colony,
right.
Houston Fields and all that.
And then in addition, the first thing we do in the spring will be to fix the drainage along with getting the track done there.
Okay. I this monthly report, activity report, will it come out pretty much updated every month then from now on?
By the first Monday of the month, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Mr. Bechtold? Can you tell me about Palmer Junior Middle Roof? I drive by there and it doesn't look like it's complete. How long until Palmer Junior Middle's roof is done?
Well, that's my project. Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. We've had some issues with the glass, the clear story glass, the 70, what is it? Built in 1953. But we're replacing the glass with a much better product. And it took a while for the product to be delivered. And then in addition to that, the trim, the metal trim around the windows is needed in order to You can't just put the glass in there. You have to have the trim there, and there were some delays in that in getting that on site. Now that they're both on site, on Monday we started the process, but there's some warranty issues where we thought we had answers for the installation that the warranty would be void, either but for the glass or for the roofing material itself where they meet. And so to avoid that, we had to get agreement yesterday between the manufacturers. So today they were supposed to start on getting those glass installed. You know, 3 months later than what I would have liked, yes. Sorry about that. But we're making them, we're keeping an eye on them, and it's been tedious work, and we'd rather do it right than hurry and have it. And the other thing I'm going to do is find out the difference in the energy bill between last year and this year, and that'll be a good bargaining thing with the contractor, I figure. Thank you.
Mr. Lacey?
Yes, I don't know who this question would be for. However, I just heard somebody say that they're going to go through and finalize these roofs. How do we know that these roofs are not going to leak 6 months from now? And who's going to pay for it if they do? And what kind of warranty do we have? I don't want to come back here in August of next year and we have a big budget problem because all of our roofs are now leaking and the contractor says it's not our problem. What kind of insurance or assurances that we can get that this is not going to be a problem?
Through the President to Mr. Forrest.
Yes, sir. All of the roofs are warrantied, and if they are leaking, the contractors have been coming back even during the construction process and making the necessary repairs and paying to fix the areas that were damaged. So we would anticipate that that would continue throughout the warranty period. These are 20-year roofs, so it's reasonable to expect, even in Alaska and even with the winds that we experience, that we'll get 20 good years out of these roofs. There may be some leaks, as you know. When you first install a roof, sometimes it doesn't go exactly the way you thought. But I'm sure that by the end of the spring, because now we're not going to see leaks, as you know. We won't see any leaks till it thaws. So we'll have a good idea when spring comes how successful the roofing projects were, and I'm sure we'll be working directly with the borough and those contractors to ensure that the contractors are held accountable for their work. So far, they've been taking care of any issues.
Student Representative Kendra McPhail, please.
First off, I would like to thank the school board for sending the executive board to the Youth Leadership Conference, as well as Dr. Promo. At the next board meeting, there will be a formal presentation on the Youth Leadership Institute. We learned many things. Perhaps most important was how crucial communication is. One way we saw this work effectively was with roundtable discussions that were held with school board members as well as students. Although some districts focused on drugs, on a positive success I have noticed in my school is our tardy policy and how you see students move to class more quickly and efficiently. As executive board members, we will model many of the things we learned at the Alaska Association of School Boards conference and our student advisory board meetings, so we will lead by example and follow our goals. Even though we attend different schools, the executive board understands that we are all representation of the district and we will be a positive example. What I took back from the conference was having a voice and being heard is key. Having confidence and never second-guessing yourself is important, as well as consistency is an important trait. And finally, sometimes you have to listen to be heard. November 14th, is our next student advisory board meeting at Career Technical High School starting at 9 a.m.
Thank you, Ms. McPhail. That moves us down to consent agenda.
I would like to make a motion that we move the consent agenda.
Second.
Does anybody have any items they would like to pull out? Okay, our consent agenda includes minutes October 17th, item B, 13-034, recommendation for certified new hires, number C, item C, 13-035, permission to apply for a grant, career and technical education implementation. Do we have any discussion? Is there any dissension? Go ahead and vote then. Okay, that passes unanimously. We move down to action items.
I would like to move 13-025, resolution 13-003, Food Pantry of Wasilla.
I'll second.
Do we have anyone from the public who would like to speak on this item?
Dr. Paramo and school board members, I am the executive director of the food pantry in Wasilla, and I wanted to come here to express my thanks for all of your support over the last few years and hopefully for your continued support in the next few years. I'll be real brief. I pulled together a couple of numbers tonight before I came here, just so you know what kind of effect you guys are having on the pantry itself. Last October, we served 2,600 clients, and if you average that out for the days that we serve, we only serve Monday through Friday, that comes into 113 people a day. Here in November, we're on track to serve 3,116 people for this month, and that's excluding the Thanksgiving holiday. So this comes out to an average of 164 people a day that we are serving. So it's critical that we have that storage that you help provide for us at Iditarod School, and I just wanted to say thank you very much.
We had administrative report last time, if anybody has any question for administration. All right, is there any discussion? Okay, let's vote on this item. Again, that passes unanimously.
I would like to move 13-033 school board committees.
Second.
All right. When I read through our board policy, it says that school board committees should be convened for a purpose with a stated purpose and then disbanded once that purpose is over. I did look at the borough committees that with the school board committees that we've had in the past. We do have a joint borough assembly school district board committee that meets on school issues one time a month, the first Monday of the month. We also have a borough area site school site selection committee that we put two people on. Those people are recommended to the borough mayor, and the mayor approves or disapproves those persons to be on that site selection committee. The other one is construction trades. We do meet with our construction trades, and we are also the body that approves the sale of the homes. So that is another needed committee. The other committees, the Charter School Liaison, the Activities Task Force, Mat-Su Central School for recommending of policy, Charter and Alternative Schools, and School Board Policy Committee. I think I would like to not place people on those at this time and then convene a committee when we have a task for those specific duties. Does anyone have any comment on that? Anybody would like to see another one. Mr. Lacey?
Yes, I'd like to stay on the Mat-Su Central School because we meet once a month.
Okay, so I have on my list, I have that Mat-Su Central School, it was Mr. Dunleavy, and then I don't have you on that at all. So we.
Madam President, my name's never been on that list, but I've made almost every meeting except for three. Mr. Dunleavy never went to one. So.
All right, that would.
Excuse me, one meeting he did.
If you have continuing work and you meet with them, that would be fine. Do we have anybody else who wants to be on the Mat-Su Central School Policy Committee? All right, Mr. Lacey, it looks like it's you. So why don't we go through the Joint Borough Assembly and School District Board Committee. Welton and Gaddis are on that right now. Is anybody else interested in being on that committee? Again, it meets the first Monday of every month. It's a lunchtime meeting.
I would like to continue on that.
All right, Ms. Welton. Ole?
When does that meet? Once a month on what day?
The first Monday of the month.
First Monday of the month. And who do you meet with?
Usually the borough sends the borough mayor, staff from the borough, staff from the school district, and a couple of school board members. There's usually two assembly persons on that also.
Yeah, I can either do an alternate, or that'd be fine. Alternate would be fine since... Or are you going to stay on it, Ms. Boucher?
I get to go to any ones I want to.
I'll stay
so
as an alternate.
So I can put you down as an alternate.
All right. Thank you.
Member Gaddis?
And I, too, would like to stay on that one, please.
Okay. Mr. Lacey? Okay. All right. So it looks like we'll have Welton, Gaddis, and Mr. Larson as the alternate for that one. Now comes the sticky one, the Borough Area School Site Selection Committee. Right now we have Mr. Larson, Ms. Gaddis, and as an alternate member, Welton. Is anybody interested in being on this committee?
I just want to nominate Mr. Larson.
Mr. Larson, how do you feel about that?
I would like to stay on this, but also since you brought it up for tasks for a committee, I put forth to you earlier, and I'll put forth on the future school board assembly meeting that this committee virtually has fulfilled all of its obligations. The first year I was on it, we never met. We just didn't meet because we... according to the ordinance, the borough ordinance, let me see here, the function of the committee is to find and propose school sites to the borough assembly. We have found sites for the Kinnick Elementary, High School, Middle School Combination, Fronteras, Iditarod, the Day School, and Valley Pathways. And there's no other school site left for the committee to look at according to our strategic five-year plan. So I'm going to put forward to the school site selection, to the joint meeting, that we just put this committee on hold until that purpose is popped up again. And because I don't see, we don't have any other sites to look at, I don't believe. Under our five-year bond or our five-year strategic plan.
I think the purpose is to maybe get ahead of that and plan ahead enough to have site selected and land purchased before we have to put a school there. So we can propose that those be put on hold, but I think it would be in our best interest to put people forward to be on that committee in case they convene.
Yeah, I'm going to still want to stay on that committee, but I don't see us meeting in any future date, at least next year, on this issue until we put forward what we're going to do for the next five-year proposal. And the problem, I'm going to ramble on a minute. The problem of looking for a school site 5 years out that's going to be built 5 or 6 or 7 years out is a population matrix. We pay for a population matrix to find the center of a population to put the school in. And if we look at a school site 7 years out, that population, we would have to develop another population matrix, which costs a lot of money, and would have to forecast it 7 years out. And I don't think when we forecast our matrix before, when you go beyond 3 to 5 years, you're stretching where that population may grow. And that's the issue with looking at future sites. Say Wasilla or Palmer needs a new school somewhere, but it's not going to be until the next five-year bond. And you do a population matrix today, this may not be where that population goes in 5 years from now. So that's what I'm just kind of looking at, the overall type thing.
Okay, and that is in the borough hands. So we can submit our names and then have those for the mayor. Member Welton.
I just want to follow up what President Boucher has said is what they changed the reason for having the site selection committee, and they made it official because they had sold off so much borough land and had not set aside land for schools. And it was just lack of foresight. Now they want to look for more land, and they do have projections out 20 years or more as to where the population is going to be or should be, according to specialized metrics and stuff like that. I don't think that the school site selection committee is going to go away. So, again, it's up to the borough, of course.
Member Gaddis.
Well, I'd just like to remind the group here that it took us almost 2 years to get to this point, and we're just barely there, and we won't be building, it sounds like, next year, but the following year. So as painful as this site has been attending, I mean, we really do need to get ahead of ourselves. So I know that we don't have anything that we have on the books to actually get, but I think we need to move forward and stay on it and start looking at some of the borough property. I'd agree with the board member Boucher.
Okay, so we have Mr. Larson. Sorry, we have Mr. Larson who wants to remain on the committee. Ms. Gaddis?
Sure.
Well, if you don't want to be, I'm sure we could find somebody else who's interested in it. Would you like to remain?
I would.
Okay. And Member Welton is our alternate. Is anybody interested in being the alternate on that?
I do have to say that I would have to recuse myself for the next upcoming one if the regular members are not able to attend. I would recuse myself because it's supposed to be the elementary school, and I had recuse last time.
So we have 1 year. Maybe we can give Ms. Welton a break for this 1 year. Anybody else interested? Ms. Rutherford? All right, I'll put you on that as the alternate. All right, is there any other discussion on the school board committees? Or yes, Mr. Lacey.
Can we take a break?
Ms. Welton?
I would like to say that I do think that we need to keep the policy committee. We do need to review our policies. We need to review all of them, not just the school board ones that we've done the last couple of years. According to our policy, we're supposed to review them every 2 years, and we haven't gone through them all. And I know we need to update some.
I would like to appoint a committee when we're ready to start working on that instead of having a committee standing without work yet. All right. Any other comments? Okay, let's take a 5-minute break. Session. We're finishing our discussion of board committees. One last board committee that we need to fill is the Construction Trades Committee. Right now, Powger, Larson, and Lacey are on that committee. Member Cordero is interested in serving as the alternate. So do we have any comments on that? Mr. Lacey?
Yes, in the 2 years I've been on the board, I've got one phone call about that, so I can spend my time with Central School.
I am told that this spring is the time that they sell the building that they've been building for the last 2 years. So this spring, it is important that we have members of that committee to facilitate the selling and the finance of that building. If we get it done.
I'll stay on it then.
Okay. All right. So we usually vote on these committees. So if you agree with the committees as laid out, go ahead and vote. We are voting without Mrs. Gaddis. Sorry for the delay. All of the committees pass with a unanimous vote. Okay, so we move down to non-action items. The first item is 13032, first reading for board policy 6146.2, other credit options. Can I have any staff report?
Thank you, Madam President. This non-action item was placed on the agenda. We are cleaning up the language in our board policy in regard to other credit options. Some of it we still will make a correction. There's a date in there that will probably not reference dates. This is in line with the board objective of working with high school graduation and options for high school graduation. And within the policy, there's some explanation where we do have Executive Director Mike Verbalo here if there are any specific questions. He's also taken some calls directly from board members who wanted to discuss this. But it's pretty much cleaning up language to update it with the actions we're taking as a district in innovating our educational program.
So are there any questions for Mr. Verbalo? Okay, moving on. Our next one is a work session on Robert's Rules of Order.
Thank you, Madam President. At the last meeting, and actually at several meetings, we've had a request to just have a
brief review of the Robert's Rules of Order. It's always good to update ourselves and keep ourselves sharp with the rules out there. I am going to give a disclaimer, however. First, we had our president of our curriculum council prepared since the last meeting to present a nice work session for you. However, he did become ill today and was unable to make it. And so at noon today, we went to Plan B. And so I wanted to give this disclaimer because Principal Reese Evert volunteered to continue to facilitate this work session on just a few hours' notice. And as always, he's just a bright young gentleman that will just knock our socks off, I'm aware. So without further ado, let me welcome Principal of Palmer High School, Mr. Reese Evert.
Well, thank you for the kind introduction, Dr. Paramo. As stated, I did find out about this later in the day, but hopefully have some meaningful information for all of you. And I'd like to thank you. And once again, I'm Reese Evert, principal of Palmer High School. Quick background, I'm also a product of the Matsubara School District as a former student and a former teacher. In addition to that, I was the chair of the Curriculum Council prior to our current chair, who was unable to be with us today. So I guess first, has everyone by chance received this handout? Perhaps it's being passed around at this time. This is what the current Curriculum Council uses as a summary and a bit of a cheat sheet on the back there, on how to respond using proper parliamentary procedure, also known as Robert's Rules, as you see here. I'd like for this to be an interactive work session, so if you have any questions as we go along, please stop me and ask them, and hopefully I can do my best to answer them to the best of my ability, and I can certainly provide resources in areas that I might not be able to provide a clear answer. So a little bit of history of Robert's Rules. It was originally used as to govern the English Parliament back prior to America even becoming what it is today. It was informally used in the early American colonies. The best example of that is the Constitutional Convention in 1774, lasting through 1776. And I won't provide additional American history. But if you have any questions on that, that's what I did as a teacher. I was a U.S. government teacher, so this is certainly dear to my heart. In 1876, it received its name as it currently stands by Major Henry Robert. He compiled the basic rules in a pocket manual. The story behind that is he was conducting a meeting in a Baptist church, and the meeting went very poorly, and on reflection afterwards of ways he could improve the meeting and the format that it went by, he developed a cheat sheet, if you will, that being Robert's Rules as we know it today. The intent of the rules, they're designed to facilitate business. They're certainly not intended to complicate things. Establishes ground rules by which meetings should be run. Designed to protect the right of the minority in a meeting. The minority being heard while the majority maintaining the power of the majority to decide on decisions. The intent is to provide a structure for fairness and consideration of contested issues, to guide full, open, and orderly discussion, as well as to maintain a strict adherence to fairness in a meeting. So, meeting basics, and in watching all of you, you know, a lot of this is review. Again, if you have specific questions, I can do my best to answer them. A main motion, there was a couple action items on the agenda tonight, brings business before a group. You know, the statement, I move, and then following with whatever the language is. Any member may make a motion. Another member seconds it. If there is not a second, then the motion dies as it stands. A second is required. The chair then restates the motion, and then it's open for discussion. Now, this gets... there can be limits to the discussion. There can be maximum number of times specific members can talk. All of those can be determined by a majority vote. At the end of discussion, if there is no unanimous consent apparent, meaning there's a contested issue, it's obvious that there's disagreement to some degree, it requires two-thirds majority to move to a vote. So an issue is on the floor, there's obvious contesting to the issue. Before that can go to a vote, In this case, out of seven members, five of you would need to, of course, agree to end debate. And that, of course, is a protection for the minority of the group so that their voice can be heard before something is moved to a final vote and then approved. A two-thirds vote is necessary also to limit or extend debate. Again, for those of you that follow politics at all, at the national level, you possibly have heard of in the Senate, there's a 60-vote majority necessary so that one group can't be the minority right can't be taken in that case.
Question.
Yes, absolutely.
Where is a call for the question falling on this?
Call for the question. So if you would look for on the back sheet there, to call the question is. It's, let's see where it falls at. To close debate, it's about the 2-4-6th one down. I move the previous question. So that would, you know, following the official Roberts rules, that's what would be said. I move the previous question. And if it's apparent that there is not unanimous consent, then it would require a 2/3 majority vote to then vote on the issue.
Can you... Isn't there something in Robert's Rule of Order saying that there has to be open debate before you call this? In other words, all sides have to be heard prior to somebody calling for the question. Is that correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. The chair would open debate on the issue, and so therefore, in order for debate to be allowed, that's where that 2/3 majority comes in. So an issue is brought up. If there's, say, five members or four members, which would be a simple majority, that are in favor of it, that 2/3 action is in place so that those four or one of those four couldn't call the question. It goes directly to a vote. That minority vote, or the minority voice wouldn't have been heard in that case. What needs to be established then in an issue is for members of the audience or members of the school board, for open debate to occur. That's something that can also be determined. Limiting time on debate is a possibility. Limiting the number of times an individual member, and all of that is, if you follow this sheet, requires a majority vote. So, for example, a motion is brought to the floor. It's seconded. It's now open for debate. Any member can then say, I move that we limit debate for X amount of minutes. I move that we limit debate to hearing from one person three times. Something like that, then that would be voted on at a majority level, and therefore that would establish the rules for debate on that specific motion. I hope that makes a little bit of sense, and I'm happy to clarify if necessary. So 2/3 to, and that includes an amendment. If there's a main motion on the floor and there's a motion to amend, if it's seconded, the amendment is then the item up for discussion, not the main motion. So the amendment would be discussed when it's believed it's been discussed to the degree necessary in order to make that amendment now part of the main motion. It would require a 2/3 majority vote to end discussion on that amendment. Okay. And that's on the next slide here. The amendment is up there. The first thing I talked about, to table a motion, is a temporary action. If there's a need that comes up, a more urgent need, and an action that's being discussed at the time, someone determines that it needs to be tabled, it can be tabled and be brought off the table at a later time in the meeting. Typically, an item that is tabled needs to be acted upon within that same meeting. Some groups will adopt a rule or a protocol where an item can be tabled and then brought up at the next meeting. Typically, following strict adherence of Robert's rules, a tabled item needs to be dealt with before the meeting comes to an end. And taking from the table is a simple majority vote. Typically, if an item is tabled, that's because something more urgent has come up. That item is then dealt with, and then a member would call for an item to be taken from the table, which requires a majority vote. That would be then debated and dealt with on that level. Postponement of an item is essentially killing a main motion. I move for an item to be postponed. That is basically saying there's agreement that the motion in its current form is not sufficient And it might be a wording issue. It might be something that it's a simple wording that needs to be changed, and a postponement is an easy way to clear the table of a motion, if you will, and then a new motion can be brought forward. To reconsider a motion, if new information has come to light, there was an agenda item earlier, and then there was a brief break. Perhaps during that time, some new information came to light, and if there had been action on that item ahead of time, a member could then ask for a motion to be reconsidered based on new information that they had. Rescinding a motion is simply a motion is brought forward, the member or another member with new information wishes to rescind the motion because of a variety of reasons. A motion can be rescinded. It does not have to necessarily be rescinded only by the person that brought the motion forward. Any questions as we continue? Yes, absolutely. A couple of them.
I guess two questions on setting, moving to table something, and also on moving to define the limits of a discussion, either the length or the amount of times that people can talk. Is there a discussion to those, or is there just an immediate vote when that takes place?
So what you're referring to is limiting debate. Or by limiting time or the number of times people can talk. Absolutely. There is discussion allowed before that's voted on. And it does require a two-thirds majority in order for that to go into effect. So discussion is absolutely allowed once someone then brings that forward. Question over here, Member Welton? Or?
Yes, I wasn't sure if he was finished. On rescinding, do you have to be in the majority? The person you had to have voted for the item to bring it back.
That is correct. You know your Robert's rules. Excellent. Thank you. Yes, in order to rescind a motion, you would have to have been in the majority of whether or not that motion passed or didn't pass in order to bring that back, in order to rescind.
On your debate, again, getting back to what Mr. Cordero was talking about, doesn't every board kind of have a traditional, you can talk two times, or, you know, you don't have to vote on it each time. There's a traditional voice or, a traditional where the board chairman will traditionally knows that maybe each board member can talk twice and make sure they don't talk like I do beyond 3 minutes, you know, this type of thing. Don't you usually set that for a meeting prior to having to go to the official, you know, on a hot item, official item, that's
right,
really hot, that you really should sit down and debate?
Typically, you're absolutely correct. Different groups, different boards, different committees will often tweak, if you will, Robert's rules to fit what meets their needs. Robert's rules are, it provides a framework, if you will, to run a meeting as efficiently and effectively as possible. It's not a one-size-fits-all process. So, and I, forgive me, I don't know what protocols have been set forth with this body on how debate is limited, if it's limited, the number of times people can speak, and I, you know, personally don't know what would be good protocol for that, if it's something that would be annually adjusted, or, you know, that would, of course, be for all of you to decide. But typically there is a consistency with each group in how much debate is allowed, and how many times people are allowed to speak, and for how long, of course. A couple more. Closing debate, of course, is to move to adjourn. It does require a second, and it's a simple majority vote. A point of information is simply in the middle of a debate, you need clarification on something. I rise to a point of information or simply point of information. Its intent is you're unsure of something, not that you're intending to interrupt someone to derail a train of thought or something like that, which if you ever watch the English Parliament is often used. They sometimes get into some rather heated discussions. Suspending the rules. I don't know that this has happened. My assumption is that it hasn't. Suspending the rules. If there's a complex main motion that's been amended several times, there's confusion, if you will, as to what where we're at in the process of parliamentary procedure. There's a term referred to as the Gordian knot. If you know, if you're up on your Greek mythology, the Gordian knot was essentially a knot without two ends, so it could not be unraveled. This is a fail-safe, I guess, if you will, in Robert's rules, that if there's a board and no one can really discern whose turn it was to talk, where you're at in the amendments, where you're at in the main motion, someone can move to suspend the rules to basically start over. I mean, it's essentially a do-over to start at the beginning, fresh and clean, and then go from there in an orderly fashion. So that's what suspending the rules is for. And again, all of these are in that cheat sheet guide that was provided. If you disagree with the chair's decision on something, you can certainly appeal, and you can follow across what is necessary if you appeal the chair's decision. If you feel as if a protocol has been violated, that's a process that can be done as well. And it's a simple majority vote, in which case it would overturn whatever decision was made. And then recessing or adjourning, which I discussed earlier, simple majority vote and does require a second. Important items to remember, and I believe this is my last slide, unanimous consent, which is obviously used often. When it appears that the group is in total agreement, it can be used in place of a formal vote, which requires the second, two-thirds majority to end debate, and then everyone votes. If it's obvious that everyone consents, then you can jump right to that. I mentioned this: once consideration of a motion has begun, the motion belongs to the group, not the maker itself, although anyone can move to rescind a motion, provided they are in the majority on the side. Point of order is used to redirect the process. If there's something, someone is breaching protocol, if you will, any member may call a point of order to simply get back on track with the process that has been laid out. And a question of privilege is used to lodge a complaint. Cell phones are on, their music's too loud, something like that. Something is taking away from the meeting in the setting. A question of privilege can be raised to have that dealt with. And I put on there the link that I've used many, many times, just robertsrules.org, and it provides a much more in-depth and thorough examples rather than what I've presented today, which is kind of a basic overview. Yes, sir.
Question on amendments. Is there a limit on how many amendments can be made to an amendment? And is there such a thing as a friendly amendment, or is it just a word that is used but is really non-existent?
Right. Thank you. That's actually a great question. And as I found out about this presentation, I did review the friendly amendment. In the research I've done is everything should be friendly in the meeting. That term friendly amendment is really unnecessary, if you will. To limit the number of amendments to an amendment, again, to Member Larson's comment earlier about previously set protocols, that's something that an individual group would determine in order to limit the confusion that there could be. There could be limitless amendments to an amendment, or it might be more appropriate to determine one or two amendments. In my previous times on the curriculum council, we were pretty adamant that once an amendment was on the floor, an amendment was made to a main motion and seconded, we always dealt with that amendment itself before we moved on to allow another amendment. But again, that would be up to the discretion of the board. Yes, ma'am.
At a conference I was sent to that had a new board member boot camp, they had a session on parliamentary procedure, and I'm happy to tell you that the cheat sheet they gave us coincides exactly with your cheat sheet. It does add a column for whether or not debate is allowed on that particular action, which I found really handy. But just for my clarification, because I got confused before on this, could you give an example of dividing the motion or dividing the question?
I can. Now the hard questions are coming out. To divide a motion is simply a case where I'll provide an example from previously, an action item on various board committees. A member could have easily moved to divide the motion to have a motion based on each individual committee. It's essentially, if there's a motion that someone deems cumbersome, they could move to divide that motion and then provide the clarification of how they would like it divided. And typically for efficiency, if there's multiple issues in a motion, sometimes it's easier to deal with each individual issue as it comes. Does that help clarify?
Yes, and then their motion to divide gets seconded, voted on, and then you move forward on each individual.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Quick question.
Yes.
I was in a subcommittee meeting a while back, and we started to have a discussion, and the chairman said, well, I don't want to be here all night, so I'm going to close the debate. Now, how would you deal with something like that?
Well, not knowing the particulars of this situation, Robert, in making sure I'm stating things as I should state things, that from what I've heard, that would be a pretty clear violation of what Robert's rules are. The idea, again, back to my beginning statement of the rules were established so that the majority would speak, but the rights of the minority would also be heard. So there's protocols set in place so that there isn't one person directing everything and making those types of decisions unilaterally, if you will, at the detriment of everyone else, you know, that's participating.
Could,
all right. Yes.
In that instance, could you do a point of order?
You could
therefore point out that if we're following Robert's rules, this has to happen. Not that you'd want to, because maybe that might be to your detriment. but would a point of order be appropriate?
Absolutely. And hearing that, I guess it'd be good to provide a couple examples of what could be done following proper procedure. A point of order would be absolutely appropriate, as would appealing the chair's decision, which would then involve the rest of the membership. And essentially, that membership could overturn that chair's decision, and it is debatable. So that would allow for the discussion necessary to point out whatever went awry. Anything else? Well, I hope this was helpful and answered some questions. And again, I encourage you to check out that robertsrules.org if you have any need for other clarification. And obviously, you know where I'm at. If you have any questions, I'm happy to provide any more information.
Thank you for this work session. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Member Lacey?
Yes, Madam President, I would like to move to rescind the last vote that we had during the break. It came to my attention that we do need to have a policy committee, a standing policy committee, all the time, and I would like to revisit that.
All right, we can do that. I would like to, if
does
we...
Does he need a second on that?
A second, then.
I'll second that. I'm impressed.
Okay. So let's discuss policy committee. I would like to, if we do have a standing policy committee, that we also set the policies that we're going to be looking at and a date that we will be putting those on the schedule to talk about. Okay, so policy committee, is anybody interested in being on the policy committee? Right now we have Welton and Lacey.
I would like to be on that committee, Madam President.
All right, Member Cordero.
I would also like to retain.
All right. Okay. So we can have that committee then with Welton, Lacey, and Cordero. When would you guys, what month of this next year would you like to have that brought to meetings and put on our agenda?
Well, I think the committee would have to get together to talk about it, but I would like to see us start out the year with some review of where we need to go and what we need to do. It might require some connection with the administration to see where policies have not been dealt with in a while.
Okay. All right. And I also know that in our policies, years ago, we took out the citing of the legislation that we're talking about in our policies. And there has been some discussion of putting those back in our policies, citing law. So then why don't we have the policy committee set a time to meet? Is this committee going to need to be noticed when you meet?
It should be.
Okay.
And I believe that we can notice on our website, and so that it doesn't have to be weeks in advance, but it would be with some notice.
Okay. Policy committee members get together and set a date, and we can notice it. So we need to vote on this. A yes means you agree with people on the policy committee. It looks like we're having some technical difficulties, so I will call it verbally. Member Larson.
Yes.
Member Gaddis.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Lacey.
Yes.
Member Rutherford.
Yes.
Member Cordero.
Yes.
And I too vote yes, so it passes. We are back to the agenda. So we have future items and future business. We have a December 5th meeting, special recognition, so it starts at 5 o'clock, and then a 6 p.m. school board meeting. December 6th is our time that we meet with MATSU legislative delegation at MATSU Borough School District Central Office, so that's going to be here. We have...
Is that December 6th? At what time?
December 6th at 6:30.
Can I ask a quick question? Is Ms. Gaddis going to show up as a school board member or a legislator?
I don't know. Ms. Gaddis.
I can answer that.
I won't get sworn in until January 15th, so I will show up
as a school board member.
But, in fact, I was just writing down the dates. I do have vacation planned for a week, so I'll be sure to let the secretary know, and so I won't be there at that time.
Okay. All right. We also have the item of our board self-evaluation. We did talk about meeting on November 15th, but we had a member that was unable to come to that meeting. An email was sent out, and we are looking for another time that we can meet for our board self-evaluation. So any comments, any suggestions on dates for that?
Madam President, and this might be just so that another evening isn't used. The evening that we meet with the legislators, usually takes about an hour. We meet and greet. We have dinner. We could certainly, it's not an evening that should extend. You know, everybody's busy. But after our delegation leaves, we could have about a 45-minute to an hour work session, and Mr. Schleich can facilitate that to set up those goals that the board had wished for.
Right. Does that? I know Ms. Gaddis won't be here, but I believe we're going to have. It's getting to be the holidays, and we're going to have a really hard time finding a time that everybody's going to be able to participate. Would that be okay if we do that with? Okay. Does anybody else have a problem with that day? Everybody's planning on being here. Okay. So let's set that for the 6th after our legislative meeting. Let's see, it says MATSU Central School Policies. Go ahead.
Yes, Madam President. This has remained on our agenda as an item. It had been requested by a former member of the AAC, I believe. And so we've kept it on the board agenda. Now that a policy committee is established, that could be an item to take up first, if you'd prefer.
Okay, so it sounds like you guys have your first assignment. Anybody else have future items or future business? Member Larson?
Yes. The school site selection committee was moved around quite a bit, and I believe it landed on the 29th of November here. So I would invite anybody that would like to come to that to do so. So that's the 29th of November. Okay. And it's generally right here at 6 o'clock, okay. 6 to 8.
Does anyone else have an item? All right. So with that, we will move on to our second persons to be heard on non-agenda items. I don't see anybody who has arrived after we read the rules the first time, so the same rules apply the second time. Is there anyone who wants to be heard on non-agenda items? Okay, it doesn't seem that anyone would like to speak on that, so we move on to correspondence and board committee reports. Do we have any committee reports?
I'll report very quickly on the last Monday's joint school board assembly. I have some, and essentially, we had updates in regards to the bonds and the schools, and we heard that again here tonight, and the student count. Quite frankly, what are updates that we've already gotten, we received just a few days early, so we really don't have anything new to report.
Okay, is there any correspondence? All right. Then we have comments from the school board and administration. Dr. Promo.
It looks as though Mr. Forrest doesn't have any comments, and neither do I. Thank you.
Ms. Kendra?
No comment.
Okay, so Mr. Larson.
Thank you. Just want to comment on that young third grader that showed up. I just want to say that people have told me that he came up with that idea himself. He developed it, went to his teacher, went to the principal, and came up in front of us and did a real good presentation. I foresee that young man, when he comes of age, running against some of our legislators, you know. He sounds like he's really... when he's got an issue, he brings it forward, and I'd like us to consider his idea. I also had I appreciate the work that's being done on the bonds and the update that's coming from the borough. It's nice to see that come forward. I'd also like to report on, if I can find my report, on. Or should I write it out on the AASB meeting? Should we just write that out and send it?
Why don't you go ahead and make a real short report on that?
I knew you would say that.
Real short.
Meeting short. Okay. Real short. I went to school law. I thought... With a couple board members, it was excellent. They had three presentations there. One was on bullying versus protective speech, which was excellent. And the tightrope that you're working on between bullying verbally and protecting the speech. Also, elections versus schools. was another excellent law presentation. And then employee versus administration with his Fifth Amendment rights and investigations, which I thought was excellent. I wouldn't mind seeing law taught to the school board once or twice a year, not only just like AASB, but in front of us when we have issues, or just general. Also, went to frame an effective message for the legislators. It taught me how to talk to legislators like Lynn Gaddis without being thrown out of her office, but I'd probably get thrown out anyway, but that's okay. That was actually excellent. What was so excellent about that was how the protocol of offices and how to address people and how not to just barge in and how to set schedules and be precise. There was some really helpful information in that. And the other one was meaningful meetings, which we just kind of went through on Robert Rule of Order. It was an excellent. Also, we had several other things. We went to all kinds of other meetings that had various, I think it was 18 minutes. We bounced from table to table, and there was a lot of information gathered there. I can't think of anything else, but I really appreciate going to AASB. There was a world of information there for everybody, and I learned a lot. I appreciate being able to go there. Thank you.
Member Gaddis?
Yes, I'd just like to make a quick comment. I did not attend AASB, but as usual, Board Member Welton has a great report, and I thank her very, very much. Typically, when she goes somewhere, goes to meetings, she shares that with the rest of us, and I think this is really great information. So thank you.
Member Welton.
Thank you, and thank you, Member Gaddis, and congratulations again. I did type out, and I did do it in bullets. If you would not wanted it in bullets, it would probably would have been about 10 pages. But you can take a look at it. I do have to say that I have been to some AASB meetings where it was pretty ho-hum. This was really exciting. I mean, the first thing we did was get up and dance. So, you know, that's part of the dance to work with your memory and movement and how movement can aid your memory and stuff. And we spent the whole day in the arts education, and Member Poucher was also there. And there's just a lot of good information about what's going on in the rest of the state as well. Member Larson already mentioned some of the ones that I was in as well. I did go to the school connectedness where they gave information out that was the qualitative data. They had focus groups. It wasn't the quantitative statistical stuff. It was the stories of the people. And there's a website where you can look at the full report. I do have to say that the number of desserts that had chocolate in it was overwhelming to this diabetic. Thank you.
Member Lacey.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. I just want to continue my spotlight on the employee. About a week and a half ago, I was at a meeting with my daughter after hours at Mattoo Services, and three of our professionals were there, a Mary Putnam, a Russ Chafee, and a Ray Hafen. And they gave up themselves to be at this meeting to help parents figure out how their child is going to move through the system. And that's an admirable thing, and I don't think we realize how much time our employees spend after hour doing things like this. Thank you.
Member Rutherford?
Thank you. I, too, went to the conference this past week, and I appreciated the opportunity. I did not get to dance because at that time I was sent to a new board member boot camp. And it was a day and a half, and it was very well presented. There were new board members from all over the state, and it was presented by a member from Kodiak School Board who has been on their board for 21 years, and he also had guest speakers in. And there we learned tips on community engagement, as well as the nuts and bolts of meetings, and we learned tips on board policy review. We learned about the ongoing webinars that they have that sound like I could take advantage of. We also had legal experts come in addition to the harassment and bullying that Member Larson mentioned. They talked about the Open Meetings Act, conflict of interest, a lot of clarification there that was very helpful. Then on some of the shorter sessions later on, I learned about NAEP, the National Assessment of Educational Progress that the fourth and eighth graders take, and there was someone with the Department of Education and Early Development that went over the most recent statistics. That was very interesting. I also did a little session with What's New in Your Libraries that was put on by our own lead librarian. I'm sorry, I forgot her name, but she was fantastic. Yeah, who works for the school district. Mm-hmm. And I would say, like in any relationship, what we learned in boot camp was that it's all about communication with your superintendent, your fellow board members, and your community. And finally, the highlight for me was definitely lunch with our student advisory board leaders. It was great to meet these fantastic young women, future leaders in our community. Thanks.
Member Cordero.
Thank you. I had an opportunity to visit Goose Bay Elementary on Monday. I was invited to make a quick presentation at their PTA meeting. They just wanted to know how the school board works, how we do our meetings, what is it that we do versus the administration. And it was a lot of fun. There were 20-something parents there, mainly moms, but there was a dad. And it was great to hear from teachers. It was great to hear from that community. So thank you.
Okay, so I too went to AASB's annual conference. The title of it was Local Education for Global Citizens. The one thing that struck me is how our students are already part of a global community through technology and through arts, and how our local community needs to prepare them for challenges that they're going to face in a global market. And we can do that through technology that students are already using. There was a presentation on technology for reluctant learners, and the lady was from New Zealand and talked about some Maori students who were really struggling in school. But they gave them some technology, some cool iPads and stuff, and the students really went forward with it and basically taught themselves without knowing that they were learning. So I really think that we are preparing our students for to be global citizens, and we can better do that through using the arts and some of our technology that's available to us. All right, moving on, we have an executive session, matters of the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the government unit, subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided the person may request a public discussion, matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential, matters of confidential legal counsel or pending litigation. Our topic tonight will be negotiations and the school board.
I move to go into executive session.
I'll second that.
Thank you. And with the school board will be Ken Forrest, Luke Fulp, Katie Gardner, and Dr. Paramo.